Joy to the world, the Lord is come. We sung those words earlier in our service. And at Christmas, we do our best, don't we? Some lights and decorations to make the place look a bit cheerier, nice food, a glass or two of something to lift the spirits, jolly songs to join in with. Unfortunately, beneath the tinsel and lights, Christmas for many is a particularly difficult time. Spending longer than usual with family can be challenging, especially when patience and perhaps tempers fray. The pressure to make sure our social media feeds show what a great time we're having can be demoralising, especially for young people, and especially when everyone else seems to be having a better time than you. And that's before you even switch on the news and see what's going on in the rest of the world. Can we really sing about joy coming to the world in amongst all that? But we do. And I think that's because we really, really know deep down that we need joy. We long for it. We cling on to the hope that this ancient story is real, and that the birth of this one small child can make a difference. Of course, I believe this ancient story is very real, and the child Jesus changed everything. But the joy in the real story might be a bit different to what we expect. Picture the scene, the real scene, not the image on the Christmas cards with their implausibly clean manger and serene-looking Mary, who's not looking at all sweaty and exhausted after just giving birth. When you picture the real scene, you'll see a young woman who still faces and fears the condemnation and judgment of having a child out of wedlock, which was serious in those days. You'll see the worry of a father who isn't sure how he'll protect the child and his mother, and who's probably still kicking himself for not managing to get them a proper room with a proper roof and a proper bed. You'll see, and maybe imagine, the smell of the stable, and then the darkness, the feeling of the rough straw. Nothing Instagrammable here. But despite all that, there is real joy. How can that be true when the circumstances seem so far from perfect? Perhaps we ought to think for a moment about some important differences between what we might just call happiness and joy. Happiness is focused on external things. It's based on what's happening around us. Joy is based on what's happening within us. Happiness is very much focused on what's happening now. How do I feel now at this moment? But joy looks beyond the here and now and looks forward beyond the present to the future, even to eternity. Sorrow and suffering have the effect of killing happiness. They can't coexist. Happiness can't deal with them. But joy, by the grace of God, has the power to transform troubles and hardship. We see them differently. We respond to them differently. So we can know joy not because of our circumstances, but despite our circumstances. Because of the child before them, Mary and Joseph knew joy. Despite their uncertain and difficult circumstances. Maybe coming as a small human baby was God's masterstroke, because most babies' births perfectly capture what joy is like. How, when seeing that tiny face for the first time, transforms the pain of their birth. But the real story is that this isn't just about a parent's joy. Mary and Joseph's joy might be wrapped up in the small bundle they cradle in their arms, But as the angel announces Jesus' birth, is great news of great joy for all people. And that's what the shepherds experience. After they visit the stable and see Jesus, their circumstances don't change. They go back to their regular jobs and their, no doubt, less than perfect lives. But they return with joy, rejoicing in what God has done. Jesus is joy for all the people. That means you, me, our friends and families, our neighbourhoods, our communities. But here's one final difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is something people pursue. They chase after it. In fact, we're actively encouraged to chase after it by virtually every form of media and marketing. We might pursue happiness, but we choose joy. It doesn't necessarily come naturally. We have to work at it intentionally each day, not just at Christmas. But how do we do that? Well, maybe if, like me, you went to Sunday school, you remember an old Sunday school definition of joy. J-O-Y. Jesus first, then others, and yourself last. Mary and Joseph chose to put Jesus first, above their own concerns and worries, because they chose to believe the message that this child was none other than Emmanuel, which means God with us. To know the joy that only he can bring, we need to choose to put him first, not just at Christmas, but every day. When Jesus grew, one of his most powerful messages was that we should love our neighbour as much as we love ourselves. Oh, and by the way, he defined neighbour as pretty much everybody, including those we least like and we least expect. And psychologists know that when we choose to do something good for others, surprise, surprise, it makes us feel better. It gives us joy. But choosing to put yourself after Jesus, after others, is not thinking less of yourself. It's just about thinking of yourself less. Does that make sense? It's not about thinking less of yourself. It's just about thinking of yourself less. And that shift of focus is really important for knowing joy, because it lifts our eyes to see a different perspective on things. And Jesus himself gives us the supreme example of putting others before yourself. He chose to come into our world, to that far from comfortable stable, into our far from perfect lives, not because he didn't love himself, but simply because he loved us. This Christmas, in amongst the stresses and difficulties you may face, pause to remember this. This story is very real, and you are that loved. And may that give you true joy. Amen.